This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, coming to you live on Web Radio Network. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. And tonight we have an incredible guest. Totally love this girl, or girl, lady. What are we going to call you? I can call you a girl. But we have Tessa Morrow from the Paranormal Prowlers podcast. Now say that three times. Paranormal Prowlers podcast. I mean, Tess, that's like the coolest name ever. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Mercedes. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm actually doing pretty good today. It's been a little bit of a challenging couple of weeks, but I'm here, and I just was so looking forward to talking with you. You know, because we met, gosh, I was trying to think, Tessa, when was I on your show last year? Or was it the year before? Do you remember?
I believe it was last year. Yeah, okay. I think it was earlier last year.
You know what? Last year was a long year. I mean, like, yeah. That was like this really, really long year. And I did a lot of shows, and I was like, did I all do them all in that one year? So I absolutely love your show. So can you talk a little bit about, because we've got a really nice audience here on this channel, Web Radio Network, and we're streaming live on Spreaker. So I'm really excited that we've got some live listeners, live stream listeners out there. So Tessa, for those that may not know who Tessa Morrow is, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
First of all, how dare you not know who I am? I'm huge. I'm just kidding. Totally. I'm Tessa Morrow. I first started off having a worldwide radio show on KICH radio. And my friend JC just opened this opportunity for me to have a show talking about all things paranormal, something I'm very passionate about. And then I was grateful for that, and I was with them for about 2 years, but then I just kind of wanted something more. I really love the podcasting world because you're able to see where your listeners are coming from, you know, and the cities and the countries. And so actually April 10th of this year will be 4 years that I've had my podcast, Paranormal Prowlers podcast, and I couldn't be more excited about it. As you know, you could be so creative with your own show. You know, it's your baby. You could do you. And, you know, I've done everything from cursed items to haunted locations and people, interesting people like Houdini, and having awesome people like you on. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Wow. One of my questions was to ask you how long you've had this podcast. So let's step back a little bit before that. So you were on what was the radio show that you were on that was before that?
Yeah, it was the Paranormal Prowlers talk show. And that was on worldwide radio. And I was always like in the number one spot, but I always wanted to know like how many listeners is there, and just kind of some answers that I wasn't able to get. And I totally get that. But like I said, yeah, podcast kind of gives you a bit more answers. And so in the 4 years, I've had almost 90 countries listening to me. And I just keep going from there, and I keep count, you know. I totally do, and I'm such a nerd for that, but I love it. I love knowing the cities and the states and the countries, and yeah, total podcast nerd.
So great. And I remember seeing something that you just posted the other day, and you were talking about to your listeners, and I thought, I love how you do that. And what I just love about you, and I put that, I made the little promo, and I picked pictures and things that they're just so cute. The way you your book, and you've got your eyes popped out, like, and then you're in like the picture I'm looking at right now. Well, you're in the coffin at Tombstone,
Yes.
and promo. So if people see the promo, which I'll put that on YouTube, I think I did already, but I'm not sure. But it's so cute because I just think that's what really stands out to me about you is because you really take that it's like a different level. You take it to a different level because it's almost like Abbott and Costello meet the Frankenstein, like into a zany type of fun, but it's very serious too. You're very.
Yeah.
So what made you choose to take it into that kind of a fun, old school type, radio show atmosphere?
Well, it took probably about a year into my podcast where I started using sound effects. I just was really curious about it, so I started looking them up and I found a few apps where it has everything from a wolf howling to burps to just everything in between. And so I kind of have my favorites, and that's the thing about my podcast is I got to give you props for always going live. I did it with my radio show and it was like, oh my God. But with the podcast, I'm able to kind of stop and pause and put stuff in here and there. And so, yeah, I actually just recorded an episode today about Dead Man's Island in England. And yeah, I threw in a bunch of things in there, you know. And so it's fun. I just kind of it's different, you know. And I love the whole voice changing. So when I'm talking as a man, I change the voice to a man. And my mom, she was like, "Oh my God, is that you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "I really thought it was a guy, but now that I know it's you, I feel like it was like a drag queen." I was like, "Oh, thanks, Mom."
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, no, I'm telling you, I love it. When I first I started listening to what you're doing, I was like, wow, this is so great because you do add these fun things into it, and it really gives that atmosphere. And so even when I listened to mine, when we did two, I guess it ended up being two shows with me, but it
Yeah.
was so to listen to, and I need to go back and re-listen. But what I think is interesting is not only do you put the sound effects in, but you're actually can catch actual sounds that are coming through. Is that
Yeah.
is that and so I think that's like, wow, you can almost hear, like you say, listen, you can hear something in the background, and you can.
Yeah,
Because,
it I
yeah, how did
started. Oh,
oh, sorry.
sorry.
I was like, how did you just because you're able to hear it being an investigator, you're able to start hearing things?
Well, I do have what I like to call that EVP ear. I think all of us as paranormal investigators have that. You're just kind of always aware and on alert. And I started noticing that with my radio shows, especially when I would record with somebody beforehand, and then I would have to sit there. When I was going live, even though I wasn't talking and my recorder was just going, just in case something went wrong. And I would just be hearing things left and right. And I'm a huge debunker. We've talked about this before. I know not everything's paranormal. If I hear something when I'm investigating, I'm going to say what it is, like a man coughing or dog barking or a car driving by. Because sometimes I don't hear my evidence until later on, sometimes months, I hate to admit. And it could really sound like something that it's not. And so, yeah, a lot of the times when I'm recording for the podcast too, I will hear these voices. And sometimes I'll hear them right away, but sometimes I won't until later. And it's just kind of like Wow, okay, we didn't hear that man talking beforehand. And sometimes I actually have to call the person and say, hey, did you have like your husband or uncle or grandpa or brother or somebody there, a gentleman? They're like, no, not at all. And so I have gotten EVPs before doing this, and it is interesting. And sometimes I don't have a guest with me. Sometimes I'm just like, I edit every single episode to take out the uhs and the ums and what have yous. And yeah, sometimes there will be a man right there as if he's talking right next to me. And I'm just like, well, I'll be darned. I'm by myself at home and nobody should be here with me. So, but they are, they're always here.
They're always here. I look, yeah,
Always.
that's like, wow. You know, I need to start listening to what I'm doing. I'm not listening. I'm actually not really an investigator. I'm just like an investigator of like what happened here. Like because of what happened here and my clients and patients, I have to research and I want to know. But I really give kudos to you guys that, girls and guys that go out and actually do these investigations. And you have to be sharp. And so like I was really shocked when I was listening to my the shows that you did, and I'm like, oh my God, I did hear these things, but I didn't hear them when we were talking. Yeah, that's how it works though, huh?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so when I'm editing and I hear these voices coming through that weren't, shouldn't be there, I always just kind of let the people know you might want to use your headphones on this episode.
Right. And the headphones are a lot, you can hear a lot. You can usually hear a lot clearer with the headphones. So,
Yeah.
how long have you been doing the paranormal investigations?
So it's been about 11, 12-ish years. That was investigating with tools, though. I've been a fan and supporter and a believer of the paranormal ever since I was a young child. From wanting, my mom said I was about 2 years old when we were in the car and we were driving, and I was in my little car seat. And all of a sudden, I just start flailing my legs up, saying, Mommy, graveyard, me go, me go. And she's like, how the hell do you even know what a graveyard is? Seriously, like, how do you even know the name of that? And so, from a very young age, I've been interested. And so, before I even had my tools, I was going to places like Alcatraz and Winchester Mystery House and
Wow.
different locations like that, where, and so it's always been in my blood, but with tools, it's been about 12 years.
Wow. And what did you say, tools?
Yeah, like, with a digital recorder.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
different equipment, the ovulus, EMF
Okay.
meters, different things like that. Yeah.
Okay, the tools. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah.
wow. Okay, so this is so cool. So before it was just you and just being able to hear and see things, and then you started using the equipment. So what changed once you when you started using the equipment? Did you find that it picked up more for you? But were you just amazed? Because I'm amazed that I hear the voices in the house here. On like, well, Becky's the only one. Becky from Tucson Ghost Society is the one that has only come out here for this type of investigation, but it just blows me away every single time. What does it feel like to you when you actually catch something? And what was your what are some of the most incredible finds that you've actually been able to get with the gather the evidence?
Yeah, so evidence, it blows my mind. I feel like I'm a kid Christmas morning wanting to open my presents right away, and every single investigation is different. I go to Tombstone every year and I go to the same places. I go to Birdcage, I go to Big Nose Kate's, I go to Watton's Harpell Mortuary. And even though I go so many times, every investigation is different and special and unique. And the evidence is always different. And so I've gotten a lot of different things. I think EVPs have to be my favorite type of evidence. Every time I hear something that my ears didn't hear themselves and my debunker mouth didn't debunk, I go crazy. I just absolutely can't get enough of those EVPs. And also photographic evidence, in Tombstone, I've gotten a heck of a lot of it. I've gotten apparitions. I've gotten like these manifestations starting to form. I've got in a man's head that almost looks like this liquid form presence at the mortuary. I got an apparition of a woman who I believe was probably a soiled dove at the Birdcage Theater. I got a noose. We were
Right.
being touched. And yeah, I got a picture of this red noose and this blue figure below it. And it looks so bizarre that people always ask, well, they had a prop there, right? No, Watt and Tarbell never had a noose prop. Not since I've been going every single year, and I asked them and they said, no, they haven't. And if they did, I sure would have debunked it, But no, it's just so intense to me getting this kind of evidence, these EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon, and this photographic evidence. And yeah, like I said, kid for Christmas.
Yeah, and I've seen the pictures of the noose. I've that's just I've seen several of the pictures that you're talking about, and it's just incredible what you've been able to gather. And I really feel like you're one of those people that they just actually come to and are attracted to, and you're one of those resonant. Your frequency is high, so you're somehow able to catch. They seem to manifest, pretty well for you.
Yeah, that could be a good thing and a bad thing for sure. I definitely am not a medium, but I am a sensitive. Definitely get those phantom smells. I hear things with my ears sometimes that other people can't hear. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes it'll be a man whispering in my ear when I'm at an investigation. And I'll say, I just heard a man. Did anybody else hear that? And everyone's like, no. And then, yeah, that evidence. But it is, I don't know. It's awesome. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I always say that I would be the most boring person in the world if I didn't work with the paranormal and the supernatural.
Well, it does have its, fun things. I mean, it's got its drawbacks too, because, like what we've gone through, it can be some really bad things can happen. So how do you
Yeah.
protect yourself from those type of things? How do you do that? How do you protect yourself? I know you've had some issues where you went to Tombstone. This is just one specifically I know about where you felt as if somebody was with you there at the gravesite. I believe that
Yeah.
was recently, only a couple of years, right?
Yeah, so it was back in 2016, and I was just diagnosed with having rosacea. And so rosacea, it literally feels like you're burning in hell. Like you it feels like your face is on fire and it's just so painful and it looks horrible too. You're just like red and inflamed. And so I was told, don't stay out in the sun too long until you get this under control, yada yada yada. And I had an opportunity to go to Tombstone, a place that I had always wanted to go to. And so I go there, and that year, Arizona was getting hit with a heat wave. Now, I know Arizona is always hot in the summer. You know that. You live there. But this was a heat wave and a half. And I think the coolest day they had in several, like in a couple weeks at least, was like I think 106 or something. And
Oh.
by the time I left Tombstone that night, it was 118 degrees, and
Oh.
it was insane. And so here my rosacea self is out there, and I've always said, I investigate alone, but I also investigate with my team. And my number one rule is, you're not Ghost Adventures. You don't need to provoke. You don't need to be a jerk. You don't need to be disrespectful. Just be yourself, whatever. And I don't care if you're talking to a murderer or a good guy. And I totally broke my rule of Mercedes at Boot Hill that day. I was talking to the Bisbee Five and I told them, like, you guys are jerks. You deserved to hang. You were You deserve to be executed. You murdered several people, including a police officer and a pregnant woman. You guys are scum, and some other choice words. And I started to walk away, and my recorder gets this man's voice saying, "Come back here." And I just, ever since then, I felt really, really sick for about a month. I felt like this elephant was sitting on my chest. I felt at times that I was being strangled. Like I would be fine, and all of a sudden I would lose my breath and go, and it was horrible. Like I always said, it felt like a snake was wrapping around my neck really tight. But in reality, it was this gentleman, in loose terms, who was legally hanged, one of the first to be legally hanged in Tombstone, by the way. And he had attached himself to me. And, it took a long time to get rid of him. And I go to visit him every single year. People, some say I'm crazy for doing that, but it's a form of respect. I also promised him as he was leaving me that I would go visit him. And I haven't broken that promise yet, but a few years later, I went back and I was at Wat and Tar Bell, and one of the previous owners, not there anymore, Nora, she had told me, she's like, "You know what? You have stuff with you. Spirits like to attach themselves to you." And at the time, I thought I only had the one attachment, but she said that, no, you always seem to. When you come out here, at least people, they come to you. And I've had that happen before out there where it wasn't like an attachment, but we basically, I like to pick up rocks. I'm like a rock nerd. And so if I see a really cool rock at a site, I'll pick it up. And so when I was at, now it's it says it's Wyatt Earp's house, but I think his house is in a different location. But I picked up a rock from there, and then later on, like 6 hours later, at the same day, I picked up a rock under the gallows at the courthouse. And I felt like somebody was watching me when I did that, and it was the weirdest thing. But later that night, this man came, the spirit was talking to Nora, and he was saying, "Pocket, pocket." And I was like, "Oh my God, he's totally ratting me out." She's like, "What's in your pocket?" And I was like, "A rock." And so he ratted me out, and she said, "Okay, well, you're gonna have to put that back." And then his voice comes through and through the spirit box, and he says, "By sundown." And it's like, "Oh no." And so it's like, "What, you were watching me from like 8 in the morning to like way past the afternoon? Like, what's up, dude?" But yeah, so apparently they follow me, but to protect myself, I used to be really good with doing opening protection prayers and closing and sage, and I kind of haven't been doing that like I should have been, and I need to get back into doing that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this by sundown. I mean,
I
that's
know,
so
right?
up there by sundown.
By sundown. It's like, what is this, a movie?
I mean, that sounds like so amazing, like so real. And so like the actually she was recording this, or she was able to hear while she was talking to you. You were specifically doing like where you could hear things at the same time.
Yeah, so it was like a form of like what we would know as a spirit box, and there's a different name for it, and I probably put it in my book like 100 times for that chapter, but I don't remember exactly the name now. But with the spirit box, the ones that I've used anyway, like the SP7, it's like it's like going through the frequencies, and it's just this sound that is very uniform and you hear it. And with this one, it doesn't have that at all. Like there would be several minutes where there was nothing, and then all of a sudden this voice would come through. And so we were all able to hear this voice, and it was the same man, it was the same voice. And so really, really interesting stuff.
Wow, that's amazing. I have not had much luck. I got one of those and I tried it. I just don't have the ability to do that. It's just, I guess I just haven't been taught correctly to do that. But no, that's just amazing. Oh my gosh, my sundown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the thing with that is, unfortunately, because I was really curious about getting that for myself to add to my collection, but this specific tool, you have to have Wi-Fi. You have to have electricity. You have to have that source where some of these places we go to, like the jails, the sanitariums, the prisons, the brothels, some of those just don't have that. And so I kind of turned away from that. But whenever I go there and they use it, I really do like being a part of that. But I was like, I guess I won't be adding that to my collection anytime soon.
Have you got the one where they look like little stick figures, the spirits? I
No,
don't.
I've used it before and I've been there before when they've used it at investigations, including at Wantabalree Mortuary, which is like by far one of the most haunted places I've been at in Tombstone. And just in general, but I haven't had the pleasure of having that myself.
Okay, wow. That one always just fascinates me. I
Yeah.
love. I'm always just amazed by that one. So outside of Tombstone, what is your second or favorite, or what are some of the locations that you really felt drawn to? I mean, you could have led past lives or different things. So do you think that you're drawn to some of these other locations as well as like you were with the Tombstone?
Well, speaking of past lives, real quick, I really do believe that at some point, whenever I go to Tombstone, I would see this man just laying there bloodied, and you could tell that he was murdered. And I know that was me. And so I've never had that happen before with past lives. It's very interesting, but I'm trying to learn more about that. But other areas that I've been really drawn to, Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky. That's a huge location for me, really great spot. Just
That's the center,
generally,
right?
yes.
The center.
Yeah, tuberculosis, thousands of people died there, unfortunately. Got a lot of, see, that's a place that you wouldn't be able to use that tool that I was talking to you about because no electricity, at least when I went there several years ago. And so that place was awesome. A lot of male energy, got a ton of EVPs, did a little bit of dancing with bats. All of a sudden you just hear this whoo, and they would like be right there in your face, but never touch you. And so thankfully I didn't have to get any rabies shots, but we did do some dancing and a lot of neat locations for sure. Bachelor's Loop is another really cool location, doing some investigating there in Colorado. That was
Oh
in
yeah.
fact one of my
Yeah, I was
first
just
locations.
asking about Colorado. So yeah, so tell me more. Tell me more.
Yeah, so Bachelor's Loop is in a cool town, mountain town, way up in the mountains. You're going there and it's like a postcard the whole drive up there. The mountains, you're surrounded by them. The Rio Grande is below you, just rushing by. And it's a really neat town, a lot of history. They had the several different mines. So Commodore Mine is the biggest one, and that's the first one that you come upon. You leave the town and you go on this dirt road. They have an underground fire department and a mining museum, and you're literally in the old mining district. And just ton of history. A lot of miners died up there in that area. I was actually investigating there one time, and I was just using my recorder. I wasn't using really anything else. And so obviously I didn't hear the results till later on, but it was either Commodore Mine or Amethyst Mine. They're kind of really close together. And I'm asking, what's your name? And I get this man, which I heard later on, saying McDonald. And I always love this because it's a great example. I don't know the history of it. I don't know the deaths or the people's names. And so it kind of made me get my researcher boots on. And I looked online and I went through the Colorado Mining Archives and I had to go through the districts and, like, the actual counties. And, it's several pages. I think I want to say like 80 pages. This was several years ago. And the writing could not be smaller. And so here I am searching, searching. And sure enough, there's a gentleman named R. McDonald who died there. And
Wow.
I just love that. It's like I didn't know that, and that piece of the puzzle fit perfectly, And so that's happened several times and a lot of neat things there. I always tell people, if you're in Colorado, go to Creed. It's a great place. Cripple Creek, that's another cool place. They have the mining donkeys from the ancestors of the donkeys and the mules way back when.
Oh,
And
wow.
they, oh yeah, they still roam the town. It's a huge thing out there, Cripple Creek. And they still have an active mine there, if I remember correctly. Very haunted town, a lot of stuff going on there, cool little brothel. They just have a lot going on. But yeah, we always go, we try to find the donkeys. You gotta search for that fresh poop and you find them. And they are so cool. And yeah, they even have a donkey vet and they have everything. They're just, yeah, they're a huge donkey friendly town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I love Colorado. I want to live there. So someday I'm going to go visit these places. So,
Yeah, you have to visit me. I'll take you everywhere.
oh, where are you at?
So I'm kind of scattered throughout there, actually. I have family in Pueblo, which is about an hour and a half from Denver. And then and so I spend a lot of the time there. And then my mom, she's in the San Luis Valley in Del Norte, which is kind of by Alamosa and New Mexico border. And she's kind of close to the Creed area, the first mining town I was telling you about.
Wow.
Then I have my own house in Walsenburg, which is a small, tiny, old mining town as well. And so I'm kind of everywhere in Colorado. Yeah.
Wow, you are that. I mean, like, I do want to come. And so when I do visit, I am going to look you up. I'm going to call you and tell you because we will go one day. Someday
Yeah,
we will.
absolutely. Oh, and then my boyfriend, his mom has a gorgeous house right by the Spanish Peaks in Weston, which is kind of in the Trinidad Aguilar Mountains. And so, yeah, we kind of just go everywhere in Colorado. It's like sometimes I'll wake up and I'll be like, where am I? Oh, yeah, Walsenburg.
Wow, that is
Yeah.
so cool. But you really want to be an Arizona person in Tombstone.
I do. Yes, every year I go back and I'm so drawn there, and I wish I could live there at least half of the year.
I know that would be so cool. And one day, I really, hopefully, next time that you come, maybe you'll be able to drive over and do an investigation here. I always ask you, and I know that someday you will
Yeah.
come here.
I will someday for sure. I really do want to. I just need to make those days kind of merge with the other days. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that would be so cool. So, you've already answered so many of my questions, but one question I'd like to know is, what were your influences when you were growing up as a kid? What was your main influence or several of your influences? And they don't have to be paranormal. It could writing, or I know that you are an author and you've got some amazing books. And so who influenced you as a child?
I have to say my parents, my mom and dad were huge, and they still are to this very day. My grandpa, he my dad's dad, all my grandparents are phenomenal, but my dad's dad, my grandpa Gerald, he's been gone for several years now, unfortunately, but he was in World War II. He was in the Battle of the Bulge. He's been through a lot, and he wrote about his experiences during the war, and he kind of got me into writing. He got me really into that big time. And so I wrote my first, I don't even want to say book because I didn't publish it, but I wrote a 200-page book. I think it was like the year or two after he died. And I one night was just so I wasn't feeling it, and I ended up shredding the 200 pages, and I to this day I'm still very mad about that. But I have two other books now, and did not shred those, published those myself, and I'm working on book number three. And but yeah, it's I have to say it's really been family that I have really looked up to and have influenced me.
That's amazing. I love that because, that's actually the best, if your family can be the influences, that's the way to go. And so
Yeah.
your grandpa and the so did they all live in, they didn't, did they live in that area too, in Colorado area?
Yeah, So, well, they started off in California, and then yeah, eventually they all ended up in Colorado. And for my dad's side anyway, and my mom's they're all from New York and came from there to California and then Arizona and all over the place.
And you let's talk about your books. What was your the first book? What was that one about? Why did you write that book?
So my first book is my baby. That's my favorite book, and I think that for the rest of my life it'll be my favorite book that I've written, not like, in general, but Paranormal Prowlers, I'm Always With You. And I came up with Paranormal Prowlers several years ago, like close to 13 years ago, maybe. And I always knew like that's the way people could find me, Paranormal Prowlers. And so that's attached to everything. And actually, when I had my radio show, I had you know him, Barry Fitzgerald, on twice. And
Yeah.
then I told him I'm gonna do a podcast someday, and he's like, "Well, yeah, you should do that for sure." And he's like, "But I would stay away from Paranormal Prowlers. Maybe start with something new." And I respect him. He's awesome. But in my head, I was like, "Well, that's how people know me. That's how they find me. It's easy to find me because it's been like that for, over a decade. So I kind of have to stay with that, I think." But yeah, Paranormal Prowlers, I'm Always With You. I'm Always With You was an EVP that one of my dear friends who passed away at age 27, I caught his voice saying that to me during a recording a few months after he died. And so I'm Always With You is about several of my investigations that I conducted throughout the years. This includes, I think Tombstone has like five or six chapters in there. And besides Tombstone, I have Waverly Hills. I have Sloss Furnaces in Birmingham, Alabama. I have some Colorado investigations in there as well. Might have a New Mexico one. I'm trying to remember. But yeah, I have a lot in there. And it kind of talks about it, had me go through my investigations and all the audio and just hours and hours and hours of going through notes and writing stuff. And so in this book, you're basically walking through my investigations with me. I'm showing you the evidence. I'm telling you all the things that we did and heard and asked and all the results. And some of them are really intense and some of them are really interesting. But yeah, so that's, and then I have different chapters. Like one is about mediums and some of the mediums that I had the pleasure to talk with, and how accurate some of them were. And there's one chapter, Tales from Another, where I think that's like the longest chapter, where throughout the years I just had people sharing stuff with me. So their own different encounters, investigations, paranormal and supernatural, everything in between. Some are heartwarming, like grandma coming to visit you, or some are really intense, like witches and transformation from animals and just like things that would blow your socks off. And so, yeah, that book is really, really cool. I had so much fun with that one. My second book, Paranormal Prowlers, Who Blew Out the Candles? That one is basically every single chapter has somebody in it, and it talks about all of their stuff. And so I have like my friend Ian, who might be listening. He said he wanted to. I don't know if he got the link or not, but he's
Hi,
from
Ian.
a He's from across the pond and he shares a bunch of his stuff. They do a lot of investigating in homes and try to give people answers, which is so awesome. Totally a total different breed of investigating there. I can't do that kind of thing really, but I mean, the people who can, it's like, oh my God, that's awesome. And then I have several other people scattered throughout the states. I have one friend in Ireland. And so each chapter, it's okay. This is Ian's chapter, all of his stuff that he shared with me. And this is about an hour or two of just talking all things paranormal. So a lot of notes to go through. But yeah. And my third book is going to be called Forever Roaming. And it's all about animal spirits, not
Oh.
spirit, not like spirit animals, like, oh, my spirit animal is the
Yeah.
eagle or whatever. But I'm actually talking about full legit, my dog died, but no, he's right here with me kind of thing. And so, Fur, FUR, ever roaming. But, every single person, I always tell people right now, I probably shouldn't be saying this because I don't have my books on me at the moment. I need to order them. But I always like when I do have them, I heavily promote it saying, hey, don't go through Amazon. Don't go through Walmart. Don't go through Barnes and Nobles. Go through me. I'm your gal Friday. I'll get it for you. You'll get a book that has an autograph in it, and I always put a little note in there for the person. I'll put a business card. I have my handmade bookmarks, my Read in Peace series, which are coffin shaped bookmarks. And yeah, each person gets one of those bad boys. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Writing is definitely in my blood. It takes me not very long to write a book, but since I'm not Stephen King and I don't have a publisher and I don't have the money for a publisher, I unfortunately publish my own books. And I say unfortunately because the process is just insane. It takes me years to publish a book. I have to buy several copies because on my end it looks great, and then when they send me the book, it looks like a second grader made it. No offense to the second graders. Actually, they probably do a better job. And so crazy stuff, but yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. You
Yeah.
know, it's a lot, but I love I'm like gonna re-go through what you've said. So these books, I just love all the books. I do need to order them. I think I forgot to order your books, so I apologize. I will order them from you.
Yes.
And tell me the fur title again. The fur.
Forever roaming. So forever, but with a U. Forever roaming.
Oh, I love that because that's, my thing is about seeing that was the first spirits I actually saw was the spirit animals, but not like you said, not like the totems. Yeah, I do believe that the horse was a horse. So I do believe that was significant for me to see that that was my spirit horse. But it was from then, it was just the spirits of the animals that would come to. So I'm going to love this book. This is going to be great. Are you going to have just all your experiences, or how are you going to make that book?
So this book is going to be from people sharing their experiences with me. I've had a lot of people already come forward saying, like, my cat just died, and here's a picture of I took a selfie of me and the cat's in the background, and you could clearly see a cat. And my friend, she is in Cripple Creek, that mining town I was telling you about with the burros. And at this fire department, this firehouse, they used to have horses. They don't anymore. And when they were there, they were hearing horses when they were investigating at night. And so I've just had so many people, my mom has had experiences, so many people that I know, that it just kind of motivated me and inspired me. Like, I need to write this book because a lot of people have experiences out there. So, people who are listening, if you have an experience with an animal that is no longer here, please let me know because maybe you could be in the book.
Yeah, and I have yes. So and so, we'll have to tell people how to contact you. But I love that because that's I think that's really interesting. You are the th third person that I have talked to. Kelly is another one. And then there was somebody else, Kelly Fitzgerald, who you had on your show.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm about to start, once I get this music done that I've still got to finish, my next thing is about the spirit animals, the music. So that's a little weird, huh? Because
Yeah.
like you're, and another person I heard is about to work with the animals and in writing something. So I'm just like, I think that maybe the energy of the animal spirits are coming together to where a lot of different people are going to be communicating about them. Mine, I tell you what, Tessa, I'll never forget. I've gotten pictures of my dog, well, Lulu. We've got pictures of my dog Boo and pictures of Joe's dog Zeus, who his dog had died prior to me meeting him. And my dog Boo passed on just as I was meeting Joe. And it was almost like it was a terrible thing that happened, but it was almost like very bizarre. It was like she was so much of a baby to me, my baby, that I don't know if I would have, it might have held me back from a relationship with Joe because I was. Like she was like, I mean, like sleeping, like she slept with me and she would get up every night and bark and just crazy bark and yelling. Most people that would not want to deal with that little dog, right? And it's so weird, but I'll never forget like one of the days I took a, after she was passed on for a while, I took a picture in our corner, in the corner of this house. And, there in the corner in that door, which is the door, which was all the stuff happening in that doorway, was the his face, Zeus's face, and Boo's face right next to each other in the door. Their faces, like when you took a picture, they're right there. I can find all these. I'm like, wow, because you know, she was a Yorkie, so there's this Yorkie face, and then he is was a blue heeler, so they have a specific face. So both of those faces were right there. We've also gotten Joe's dad standing too. I've got two pictures of him standing in the opposite side of that doorway and two different ways, like one's face forward and one is a side profile, which he looks exactly like Joe. They're like spitting image of each other. So it's so bizarre to see like a spirit. I've gotten several of his dad's face. One was with my cat, and the first day I was here, and there was a picture right under. I was taking a selfie, and then when I got done, and the cat's there, but when I got done, there was a picture of Joe's dad's face right shoulder, but he looked like he was around 35 years old, but it was his face, and I didn't recognize it, and it was just that day when Joe came home, and I showed him, and I was like, "Look at this," he goes, "That's my dad." And I'm like, whoa. He goes, go look at the war picture because his dad was in, he was in the service. And so I had been sitting in that desk area that day looking at the pictures of him with his guys, you know, that, you know, they have, we have the flag, we have everything. And his dad was in the service and he had his arms around these guys that are in the service with him. And I'd been looking at them that day. And sure enough, I'm like, oh my God, that is the face. That was this age. In that picture, I still got it. I'll send it to you because I have it. Because it's one of those things like, wow. I mean, you can, it's just, it's him. So, but yeah, I love what you're going to do here with this, with the animals. I think that's going to be a fantastic, fantastic book. I already love it. There's not a lot of those out. I haven't seen any. Have you seen any out like that?
Not to my knowledge. I'm sure that some probably do exist, but first of all, yeah, I would love to see those pictures. I love photographic evidence. I mean, to me, that's amazing of both your animals and your father-in-law. But yeah, jumping to the book, I haven't seen any myself, but I'm sure some are out.
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea. Yeah, so we can talk, well, we can talk more about that later. Oh, you know what? I'll send you those pictures. But I wanted to also ask, what's your favorite movie? What kind of movies do you like? Because I think you probably like these old-fashioned movies, but I'm just curious, do you like those movies, or what kind of movies is your favorite movie?
Yeah, I like a
I
different range of movies for sure. I Face Off has always been one of my favorite movies with Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. And
Yeah.
Tombstone
Yeah.
is always one of my favorites. I mean, I probably watch that probably 5 or 6 times a year. I always watch it before I go out there. I watch it while I'm there. I watch it after, and I watch it, that movie kind of a lot. Probably know every word of that movie.
I love
Yeah, Val Kilmer, oh yes, all of those gentlemen, awesome. I love the scary movies. I love all the Ouija movies. I love the Halloweens. I love the Freddy Krueger's, the Nightmare on Elm Streets. I actually, as a child, got to meet Robert Englund, the original Freddy Krueger, baby, the original, not the other shorty guy who, doesn't even look like him. I met him several times when I was in New Mexico for a while, and he was such a cool dude. But yeah, so yeah, Michael Myers, Leatherface, all those guys,
okay.
I'm a huge
You know, some people aren't when I think about when I start talking to people, and I always wonder because, like, I'm not really about that kind of stuff, you know, too much of the Freddy crew. I've seen them, but some
Yeah.
people like haunted horror movies and stuff. So I was just curious about, you know, kind of like what you liked as far as that, because it sounds like you really are very much a paranormal person.
Yeah, I like all those kind of things. Now when it comes to TV shows, that's something different. I really kind of tend to stay away from the paranormal shows. There's like a handful that I'll watch, like Paranormal Emergency and Paranormal 911, which is usually like, police officers and firefighters and EMTs. I actually got to meet a lot of neat people from that and have them on the podcast. But when it comes to shows like Ghost Adventures, I can't do it. I can't watch those. To me, it's I've tried, and for the people who are listening, who are fans, I mean, sincerely, no offense at all, but I can't stand Zach. I can't do it. I mean, just too much going on there. But I,
It's still on?
yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, they're doing something right, I guess. They're one of the number one shows out there when it comes to the paranormal, but yeah, I just kind of tend to stay away from those kind of shows myself, but
Yeah, and I understand that. I've been hearing a lot about that on different shows and different podcasts, and where people, a lot of people are talking about, the differences of, well, I know because I was on one of them, so I know what the behind the scenes is, so I can understand a lot of people don't realize everything that goes on, and a lot of the things that could go on, that are not real, or they could be real. I mean, it is a show. So, but yeah, I mean, either people love Zach or they don't. It's kind of like that. I'm kind of like, it doesn't matter because I don't really watch it. I used to watch it, so I do know what you're talking about. But
yeah. Well,
yeah,
one of
so.
the things with that was there was one episode where I think it was like some asylum or whatever, and they were talking to this person in the driveway, and he was like blurred out, and I guess he had admitted to kind of jumping over the fence and going in there, which obviously is trespassing. And that's like another big one for me. Like, I don't do that kind of thing. Like, when I go somewhere, I'm invited there, I'm not like trespassing or whatever. And so Zach at one point said, "Okay, little," and he put his fingers up in air quotes, "Okay, little boy and girl investigators, do you know why his face is blurred out?" And I was like, "Hold up, man. I was an investigator when you like what?" Like, he like made it seem like everyone's phony but him. Like, little boy and girl investigators, that kind of thing got me. And my boyfriend's like, "Why do you watch this dude?" I'm like, "I don't know." So I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna stop," and I did.
That's probably why he's just like, I want to get, I'm just like, don't do that, Zach. Don't do that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I can understand what you're saying. I definitely can. I guess they came out to investigate. Joe was part of the slaughterhouse, which was out here. So he was co-owner one of the owners of this haunted attraction. Well, it ends up, and it's just as he let that go, like right after a couple of years after we met, I guess they actually did investigate that slaughterhouse haunted attraction. They came out, and I thought, well, that's weird. The Ghost Adventures actually coming out to do that. I think they're the only ones that have come out here, so to investigate. But yeah, I mean, that place is really haunted. It was a horrible place. So it's like we had hauntings there and we had hauntings here. So it's like everywhere was the place I was living at when I first met Joe was mass murder. This murder guy was there too. He usually speak with some mafia, a drop off place at this one place I live. So I mean, everywhere I go, it's like people being murdered before I get there. So it's a little weird, you know. I don't.
Yeah, maybe I won't go to your house, Mercedes. I don't know.
It's you know it's like in the past, like
Yeah.
well then and then there was the murders over there, and it's like wow, this is so weird, but yeah, it's kind of crazy. Well, so you've got to tell us or tell the people that are listening and tell me too, where can people find you? Where can we go to find your book, and how can we reach you?
Well, my phone number is I'm just kidding. So, yeah.
Phone number.
So you can find me on Paranormal Prowlers podcast, and you could always message me. You could email me at paraprowl@gmail.com. And you, yeah, for my
Website.
podcast,
Yeah,
huh?
website. Don't you have a website?
I
Or you
did at
did?
some point. I don't anymore. I mean, I think it's still up, but it's not active. I definitely need to get a new one. I think it's like my radio show one, actually. So it's about way over 4 years old. But the podcast, yeah, if you go to Paranormal Prowlers podcast, I am always putting out episodes. I actually just released one today, Monday. Every Monday, I release one. So Carl Tanzler and his corpse quote bride, and so that was today's episode.
Oh,
But
I saw that one. Oh my God.
yeah,
I
it was pretty
saw that.
disgusting. Yeah, it was bad. It was definitely, it's like one of those things where dude totally took her out of the mausoleum, took her home, kept her there for 7 whole years, and he was beyond obsessed with her. And when he was found dead, 3 weeks later after his death, they found him in bed with a replica of her next to him. And so, and mind you, they met when she was 22 years old and dying from tuberculosis. She was just a patient dying, and he was obsessed with her. And so I think that just speaks volumes, obviously. You know, it's not, yeah, I know, it's insane for sure. But so anyways, I talk about weird stuff like that, but you can find my podcast on the Paranormal Prowlers podcast Facebook page. I'm always putting the links out there. You could also go to places like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Spotify, Player FM, all the platforms you could find my podcast.
Yay! If I had my sound effects, I'd be like, yay! That's where you find her. And then,
Yay, yeah.
because yeah, when you look, when you put your name in, you're there. You're definitely there on Google. You're there on Google for sure.
Nice.
Well, I think about to come to the end of our hour here. So I wanted to just say, is there anything else that you would like to mention that you would like people to know about? I know we've talked about pretty much well, everything that was there anything else you would like to talk about?
Right. So one thing I would mention is I've been working on this for the last couple of years now, and it's another project of mine. It's not a book, but it's an actual game, and it's called Tessa's Tombstone Trivia. And so people who are from Arizona, you might have a lot of listeners in that area since you're from there yourself, specifically closer to the Tombstone or in the Tombstone area. I am working on this game, and each card is the shape of a coffin, And it's just trivia, like how did Billy Clanton die, or how old was Billy Claiborne when he died, and what year was the Bisbee Five executed, just different things like that. And it's multiple questions, so it's there's four different options. And since it was a silver mining town, you get a silver nugget with each one that you get right. And then I have a noose in there, and I made all of these myself. So you have a little noose that you throw, that the winner throws at the loser. And so people are having fun with it. I've already, like, sold a few. We're working on that. I'm working on that now. And yeah, it's, I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. It's 200 cards. Yeah, you have a red little piece of bandana in there for the Cochise County Cowboys, which are obviously bad dudes. And so, yeah, it's in Tombstone the movie, they just refer to them as the Cowboys. But yeah, it's the Cochise County Cowboys.
Wow, that sounds actually fun. And you know what? There's a lot of people that do know that trivia. I mean, there's a lot of people that they love going to Tombstone just like you do. And it's like a event every, month people go there. I mean, I know people. Well, we used to live in Wilcox, so it was pretty close. We could go there, and I think you'd get there in about 40 minutes, but still, it was closer, it seemed, to here, to me there, than I am here. And it was really fantastic when I first went there a few times. Well, I just absolutely love that kind of game. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so thank you. So yeah, for people who are interested in that, feel free to hit me up, paraprowl@gmail.com, or find me on Facebook. And yeah, I mean, I make every single game myself for now until I get them manufactured someday, possibly. But they come in this nice little wooden box with latches, and they have, the cards fit perfectly in there, and then the silver and the noose and all that good stuff. And so, yeah, it's definitely a fun game, and maybe someday you and I could play it together.
Fun. And what's interesting is you're like talking about the noose. That was like part of, you're using your experiences there. The
Yeah.
spirits are helping you create this.
Yeah.
For you to make a game, to do this game. Wow. Could you have that like on Facebook where you have, I haven't seen that. Like, do you have it?
Oh, so yeah, I do. Okay, yeah. So I actually have a Facebook page just for that. It's called Tessa's Tombstone Trivia. And
Okay.
I'll add you to that group, and so then maybe you'll be part of that group. But yeah, it's Tessa, so Paranormal Prowlers Podcast, and then Tessa's Tombstone Trivia. Both of those are separate pages, both on Facebook.
Oh yeah, very cool. Yeah, that is super cool. You know what? But Christmas is just around the corner.
Yes,
Every
it
that for Christmas, I'm telling you. They need
is.
Tessa's Tombstone Trivia Game.
That's right. And I actually had a friend, one my mom's best friend, it lives really close to Jerome, Arizona. And she was like, Tessa's been here several times. She should do a Jerome game. And so I have a few people who want like a movie monsters game, different games. And so, in my mind, I love doing that kind of stuff. So yeah, we'll see what's next.
Actually, that's a great idea. That's brilliant. Yeah, because Jerome has a huge amount of haunting things, and it's a huge, all kinds of history. And so that's one of the things I'm doing too, is that once I get through with this first documentary, I'm going to expand to the different areas too, because there's so much information and research on all these haunted areas. I think, well, I can promote your game every time too.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'd appreciate that for sure.
I would probably Tombstone would be a good place because it's about haunted land. So Tombstone would be fun. So maybe one day when you're out there, I could come down and film there for the next one of the next shows, eventually one of these days when we actually meet each other.
That would be fun. I go every year in September or October. This year I plan on going in September. And so yeah, that would be so much fun. If I know Kelly lives kind of close to Tombstone, and so she said that when I'm there, She could go there and we could kind of walk the streets and she could try to give me answers of like by myself out there when I was a man and I was murdered. So we'll see.
Oh, yes. I know. She's really intuitive too. So that's Kelly Fitzgerald. She
Yeah.
was on programs. You can find Kelly Fitzgerald. If you look up Kelly Fitzgerald and Tessa Morrow, you'll be able to listen to that. That was one of my questions too, was how did you like the interview with Kelly? So you liked
I
her a
like
lot. She's
it.
I really like her too. She's gonna be
Yeah.
in the doc gonna be part of I want her to be the part that I really felt like drawn to have her be the one that talks a little bit about the spirit animals and the things that I believe in, but I can't do all of it. I want others to be part of it, right?
Yeah.
So that's yeah, be a part of that. So I'm excited about that. Well, hey, you are so awesome. Thank you so much for being on here with me tonight. I really appreciate it, Tessa.
Pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, Mercedes. I had a blast, as always.
Thank you so much. And so we just want to say good night to our listening audience. And for anyone that is going to listen in the future, we hope that you look Tessa up, Tessa Morrow, Paranormal Prowlers podcast. And then she's got the new game. I have it written down. I'm going to mess it up. So it's Tessa's Tombstone Trivia Game on Facebook. So that's a Facebook page, but you can find all of this information. If you listen to this, you'll be able to find all the information on Tessa. And again, I do want to thank our producer, Stan Fikes, and we want to thank Web Radio Network. And streaming live on Spreaker is always fun. I'm always like talking. Everything I write, it seems like I'm writing Web Radio Network, Web Radio Network, Spreaker.
Thank
Oh, like it's in my dreams at night. But anyway, thank you so much, Tessa, and have a wonderful evening or day's evening, right? Yeah, I'm kind of confused tonight. It's a night.
you too.
Right. Well, have a great night, and thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, streaming live on Spreaker and the Web Radio Network. This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show.
I had to use my
Find
monster
me on
voice real
Facebook
quick, you
and
know?
YouTube.
Totally forgot
Please
about that bad
enjoy
boy.
my music. Oh my
Every
God.
time
Yeah,
I've ever been
days are running into
every
the
time
nights, and
that
now
living
for me, I'm
bubble
like,
back up to face
today I'm like, it's Monday
another
already? You know, where
day.
did that come from?
My fear
Anyway, thank you.
I know.
This was a great interview. You did fantastic. You just have so much information, even more than I was hoping. It was just great. I loved it. It was just fabulous. Thank you so much. You can listen to it for in a few minutes, I guess. I usually stay up at night and listen to it after it's over. I listen to the whole show before I go to bed.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So is there a link that I'll be able to put on my page so people can listen to it now?
Yeah, so Stan, like I put a link out, a standard link on my Facebook, and I tag you in it. So when that's done, it'll just pull up the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, and then it has a list like Barry Fitzgerald's on there. You're gonna be there, but it'll be a few minutes because I think sometimes it takes down a few minutes. I don't know how it works. I don't know how the process works.
Right.
And so then I'm sure, Stan, you can send me a link right up that. That's we just get the link from that, right? It just goes there. Yeah, so it's all link. So yeah, so then just links to my show, and then it'll you can probably push on whatever show, and then it'll link to that too. So yeah, I can do that and send it for you. But I did send it to you earlier, Tessa. Too.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Link thing is just now finally getting to me. I'm finally getting links. All right. Hi, you too.
Sorry.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I had a blast. I'm gonna go on Facebook right now and I'm going to add you to
Yeah.
my page. So that Tombstone Trivia page.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'll be able to see
Where we grow
it's so much fun.
strong
I've been having so
when
much
we
fun with
learn
that
to
game.
forgive and
Sounds
we
good.
write
Thank you so much. I look forward to
poems.
that. We might even get one because that sounds like something we'd like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Noah would be scared. He's so scared. He's like, oh no, we're gonna bring in the but Chris and I would like to play that.
Oh, there's not really anything. I mean, there's a couple questions like, who's the famous spirit who haunts this place? But really, it's all about the history, and you'll see names, big names in it, like Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp and Curly Bill, Johnny Ringo, the Earps.